Marcelo Oliveira is a lead researcher of Democracy Center in Cochabamba, Bolivia, a graduate of the Catholic University in Cochabamba. For 4 years, she served as the key international liaison for the Coordinadora de Defensa del Agua de la Vida, the group that led the water revolt in Cochabamba in 2000, and the Federation of Factory Workers in Cochabamba. During 2004, she worked with Public Citizen in Washington, D.C., helping to develop the Inter-American Water Activist Network. Welcome, Marcela Oliveira.
Thank you very much.
First, what is the Democracy Center, briefly, and what's it doing in Cochabamba?
Well, what we are trying to do here in Bolivia is to research about the impacts of the globalization in our country, you know, the impact of the international financial institutions like the World Bank and the IMF that are creating so much violence here in this country. So that's our mission right now here, but at the same time, it's also to make possible that the voices from Bolivians can be heard outside.
Bolivia has a long history of popular uprisings, going back at least in the modern era to the early 50s, 1952. What was the cause of the latest protests?
Well, I will say that everything started, you know, in April 2000 when the government, well, even more than that, it goes to 1986 when the government pushed by the transnationals and the financial institutions started to privatize everything in this country, you know, all the state-owned companies, all the natural resources. And we arrive at a point where we are owners of nothing. We don't have anything in this country. And we have to ask for money from these institutions. And these institutions have been creating too much problems here and imposing too many policies. And the lastest was the privatization of natural resources like the gas and oil and pushed by the corporations. So the corporations are trying to take these resources here in Bolivia, and Bolivians are tired of that, tired to see that all our resources are going out and there's no money in this country. We are every time poor and poor and poor. And that's something that people said, you know, in April 2000, people started to say, enough, we are not going to allow this happen anymore here in our country. And first it started with water, and now it's going with oil and gas. And so people, a couple of weeks ago, again, arose and said, you know, we are not going to let our gas go out again.
Now, I know in 2000, water was privatized, and the Bechtel Company of San Francisco, Corporation of San Francisco, was the corporation doing it. And this was an historic protest. I think Bechtel's still trying to collect money from the Bolivian government. Is that correct?
Yeah, Bechtel and his partner, that it's a Spanish company called Vingoa, they are trying to get $25 million from Bolivians. We don't have that money. And we are not going to pay that money. They should pay us because they cause too much problems here. The police killed a kid here, and many people got bonded and hurted. And they should come here and pay to us. It's not the opposite. We don't owe them any money.
Now, in 2003, the people rose up again and drove out the president at that time. Oh, that was over natural gas, was it not? The sale of natural gas to the multinationals?
Yeah, well, the government was trying to export our gas to California through Mexico and Chile. And the people said, no, we don't want that deal because we were getting nothing for that deal. You know, the corporations are owners of everything in this country. And people said, no, we want to decide about these resources, and we want to put the rules about how and in which conditions we are going to sell our gas. That was the first revolt, and apparently the government, the persons who are in power, didn't learn the lessons because, again, you know, a couple of weeks ago when people said we want the nationalization of these resources, you know, the government didn't listen, and there's now another government that fell down.
Now, what our understanding is that the majority of the people who are out there in the streets, which I guess a combination of Indians, cocaleros, the coca workers, miners, farmers, are demanding a new constitution, particularly one that recognizes the Indian majority.
Well, you know what is happening here in Bolivia is that all these struggles, you know, about water, about oil and gas, not just about that. It's at the end a struggle for democracy, for a new kind of government, a new kind of system that allow the people participate directly in the decisions that right now are taken by the government just for a few elite and rich elite. So this struggle at the end is for that. It's for a new kind of government, a new kind of democracy, something that let the people participate. And that's at the end, the resume of this struggle. You know, it's not just about oil and gas and water. It's also about that, about who decides about these important resources for the Bolivians.
Now, I understand the Bolivians of European ancestry, who live mostly in the East, are talking about breaking away from the government, having their own autonomy and controlling natural gas. What's the possibility of that happening?
Well, that's, you know, that's an, again, it's an elite that lives in the cities, in the fields where these resources are, live a lot of indigenous, a lot of farmers. So, and those are the real owners of these resources here. The people who are in Santa Cruz, that is the city, are talking about an autonomy. It's just a small elite. They are being, you know, financial and supported by corporations that all are also in that part of the country. But it's not the majority of this country. It's not the people who are on the streets and the real owners of these resources.
Now, it's interesting that we see the way the U.S., United States, which is really helpless at this point to intervene as it might have at another time, is talking about the increased cocaine production taking place in Bolivia. I guess coca actually is an important part of the Bolivian culture and is not abused in the way it is in the United States.
No, that's true. The coca is has a traditional use here. It's something that we drink in the mornings. It's like the tea for the people from England. You know, it's something that we drink in the mornings, that we chew during the day. People, the coca help us when we are hungry, and these people are very, very hungry because people are poor here. People don't have anything to eat. And the coca is something that help us to support that hungry. And, yeah, I wouldn't say that it's the U.S. I will say that it's the U.S. government. I've been living in the United States for a year, and I know that the people there also are struggling against this government. And I will say that this policy comes from the government, not from the United States, and not from the people from the United States.
Most people in the United States aren't really actually aware of what this country does, and we're geographically challenged. And speaking of that, how large is Bolivia?
Well,
in terms of the population, and how does it break down demographically?
Well, Bolivia has almost 9 million persons living here. The majority of the people in this country are indigenous, and there is also a large variety of people. You know, there are indigenous that are different in the east part of the country than the west part of the country. It's a very, very diverse country, and also that's why sometimes it's very hard that for all the social movements to get together and to sit down at the same table, because every sector has their own demands and their own problems. So it's a very diverse country, but at the same time rich and strong.
Now, the name we've heard the most as part of the opposition is Evo Morales, for the party MAS. And he nearly won the election in 2002. I know he's criticized from the right here in this country. They've called him the Osama bin Laden of Bolivia. They're trying to link him with Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. But then he's also criticized by some forces on the left what we call the left, for positions he's taken in which they call him too moderate or a traitor. Who is Morales, and what role is he playing today?
Well, Evo Morales is a very important leader for the COCA movement. Right now, he created also a political party that is the Movement Towards Socialism is the name of the political party. But more than that, I think he is a social leader from a lot of groups here that cultivate COCA. I believe, and this is my personal opinion also, that, he was supporting this government for all these months here. He was very moderate, and Evo Morales wasn't asking the nationalization of the oil and the gas. He was just asking the 50% of the regalias. I don't know the word in English, I'm sorry. At the same time, the people who are on the streets, the people who are fighting, and the people who were in the mobilizations this week were not just followers from Evo Morales, were people from many, many other groups, many social movements, and I think it's a mistake to think that just that Evo Morales is behind all the mobilizations in Bolivia. It's not like that. It's ordinary people that now is taking the streets.
Well, this is what I find out as I started looking into this. The U.S. and the U.S. media, of course, always wants to have an individual on whom they could blame or praise, depending on what their position is at a given time. But I know there's a long history of political struggle. Even though there's political struggle going on, for example, in Venezuela and Ecuador, which they also overthrew a president not so long ago. What is it about Bolivia that brings so many people together in political, more so than probably any other place on the planet? Is it this history of people coming out and protesting, not just sitting back and accepting?
Well, as I said before, after, I will say, 20 years of these policies coming to this country, these policies that ruined the life of the people here. People don't have anything else to lose. People don't have jobs, don't have anything to eat. People have entire families living on the streets, selling small things like mirrors and little things. People don't have anything to live. There are families, entire families in this country that live with $1 a day. So I don't think, I think people don't have anything else to lose, and people are going to the streets because they don't have anything, and the only way to get something from this government, the only way that we could improve our conditions is being on the streets. I think that's something that is taking the people outside. As I said before, many, many of these people are people that are not organized, are people that don't belong to a sector but are tired of to see the situation every day, to die daily here in this country. And it's people that are going to be outside again in any minute, in any moment, because the problems in this country are not solved yet. And until their voices could be heard, people are going to still fighting on the streets.
Now, it's interesting. Bolivia, again, is one of those countries that has natural resources. And when you find the people end up poor, it's something we find throughout what used to be called the third world, in which the resources are exploited by the multinationals. What role has the IMF played in Bolivia, and how much has their policies produced a reaction on the part of the people?
The institutions like the IMF and the World Bank are the ones that are opening the door to the transnationals, to the corporations to come up to our countries. And the role that they play is very important. Those are the ones that really govern this country. It's not the president who puts the rules here. Are the IMF and the World Bank. And, it was another huge uprising in February in 2003. And that was directly caused by the IMF, because the IMF wanted to raise the taxes of the common workers, the people who earn the minimum salary in this country. And it was a huge uprising, and as a consequence of that, 30 people died. But these institutions, you know, don't learn the lessons. They are still pushing for policies, for bad policies, policies that are not created in this country, that are created in some desk in Washington, and they that don't look at the reality of this country. And we are not going to accept that anymore. People are not going to accept that anymore, and people are opposing directly to the policy from these institutions.
Well, it was, I guess, over 20 years ago, or about 20 years ago, well, I guess the IMF started pushing what they call their neoliberal program. And I understand that was used in part to destroy the base of the mine workers union, which was the most militant union at the time. And those mine workers have since become cocoa workers, cocaleros.
Yeah, there are many people who went to the, you know, that's a direct consequence from these policies. The miners were closed in this country. The unions were completely destroyed. We don't have more people organized here. And these people had to go to the fields to cultivate coca because that was the only market for thousands of workers that came from the mines and many, many migrants that now are in the cities and, as I said before, selling stuff in the streets.
Now, aside from Evo Morales, how powerful is MAS, Socialist Party, there?
Well, it's a political party like many others here. It was second in the elections, in the last elections for the presidency in Bolivia. I wouldn't say that it still has the same power. I think people are a little bit disappointed about their role this time. And once more, they are not the ones that are leading the struggle of the people here. There are other sectors. There are people who are not organized or not don't belong to this political party that are on the streets. And the government, you know, the US government and the media are doing a mistake if they think that this is just a question of Evo Morales. It's not like that. The United People is the one that are the one that are on the streets and not people who belong to this political party.
It's interesting what you say and what I've read about Morales. There seems to be a tendency of political parties that nominally represent the left and the people. The closer they get to power, the more they tend to become drawn into playing the game with the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. We've seen that in Brazil. We saw that in Ecuador. We saw that in South Africa right away after the ANC came to power. They rushed into the arms of the World Bank and the IMF. It seems like those institutions are saying that if you don't pay, you don't play.
You know, the fact is that they taught us for many, many years that democracy is that. The democracy can be practiced only through political parties, and I don't think is that. And Bolivians are every time more disappointed about this kind of democracy, you know, the one that is managed just for politicians, for political parties. We don't think that that's real democracy. Real democracy is when people participate directly in the decisions. And, you know, the things that we're seeing in Bolivia and what happened in Brazil and in other countries are just signs of that, you know. That's not democracy. Democracy is not conducted through political parties, and people need another kind of representation, another kind of democracy.
It's interesting, the demands by the majority indigenous population has caused, of course, alarm by the European, those of European ancestry. But I have an article here from Reuters from just actually yesterday. Critics, quote, say Indian demands for a constitution granting them unelected congressional seats for their communities would be undemocratic. How would you respond to that?
That's not democracy. You know, that's not the way that democracy is. You know, that's the way that I think it should be. But that's the way that people will not accept that anymore. People are tired of that. People are tired to delegate their responsibilities to others so others can decide for the majority. We are not going to accept that anymore. I think it's time for the people to decide for themselves. Their opinions have to be important for the ones who write policies and the ones that make it to the ones that govern in this country. And that's something that the only way that we have to recover that is in the streets.
It's interesting also that despite the experience that the people have had with the multinationals there, again, this article from Reuters, which of course is an establishment media and presents the world readership with their view, say the critics also contend that foreign business will be scared away from this perennially unstable Andean nation if Indian groups move the country in a populist direction following other Latin American nations such as Venezuela and Argentina. And how would you respond to that?
I hope they get scared. I hope they get enough scared and they don't come to our countries, because we want to recover these resources for us. We want to recover what it belonged to us. And if somebody is going to make money from that, it's going to be in a fair way. It's not going to be like 90% for them and 10% for the real owners. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be with justice. We are not saying don't come here, but we want that the things could be done with justice and that the deals could be fair for both parts.
Bolivia, of course, is, if not the poorest, one of the poorest countries in Latin America. And I know there are so many people living there without electricity and running water. Communications chief of the National Kulasuyu Council of Tribes and Communities was quoted as saying, speaking about the Europeans, they've been managing us for 500 years. They want to manage us for 500 more. We're going to check that, and that's why they're scared. We're coming on now, he said. That sounds like what you're saying to me is the spirit of the people.
Yeah, you know, people are very radicalized right now in Bolivia. After trying to deal with this democracy for 20 years, trying to be part, that to be included in democracy for 20 years, and that didn't happen. People are tired and people are very, very radical now. There are some people in the west part of the country who are talking about their own kind of government. So I wouldn't blame to these people who are talking about these things. I think, once more, you know, every person in this country is tired about how the things are being managed. And anything will happen in this country. Nothing was resolved. The people didn't demand the resignation of the president, but that happened. But that's not solving the real problems that we have right now.
Now, the new interim president, he's called caretaker, Eduardo Rodriguez, he's in there for 6 months. Do you see anything happening? What demands are being made? Do you see anything happening under his 6 months that's going to change the situation?
No, he already made that clear for everybody. He said, I'm a transitory government, and he's putting everything in the hands of the Congress. And looks like the people at the Congress are going to resign too, and we are going to have national elections at the end of this year. We are going to not just only elect a president, but also the people at the Congress. But once more, that will not resolve the problem here in Bolivia. The problem is not about who is in power, who is the government. It's not to change a president. The problems are more deep. The problems are structural, and that's what we want to, that we have to work. It's not outside, it's deeply inside.
People here who've been following the situation in Latin America, in Bolivia and elsewhere, those who criticize this government have been inspired by the struggle of the people of Bolivia, going back to the revolt at the time of in Cochabamba in 2000. What help do you think supporters here of your struggle in the United States can do for the people in Bolivia? Is there anything that can be done here besides to cheer you on?
You know, I think it's very important that people realize there in the United States also that the same policies that are coming here are going there too. There are places in the United States, for example, where water is being privatized. So what we are living here in the third world countries is something that they are soon going to leave there, so they should be aware of that first. And second, tell your government, tell the financial institutions that are settled there in Washington, D.C., that this can't happen here anymore, that we don't want these policies coming to our countries. And I think it's time also the voices from the people in the United States can be heard. And you have there your own problems, too. You have this terrible, terrible government that is doing such a bad things in our countries. And I think the best way to help us is to stop what's going on there.
What relationship do the people on the ground in Bolivia have with, example, not just, we're not talking about Hugo Chavez, but fraternal relations with the struggles going on, in, let's say, in Ecuador and in Venezuela?
You know, at least at the water level, for example, I will say that there is huge efforts to organize and create networks among us. A couple of years ago, for example, this water activist network in the whole continent was created. The name of the network is Vida, because water is life. And I think those are the beginning of efforts, you know, to do something together, to start to work together, to share experience, not just of struggle or resistance, but also to alternatives, because that's also important here. You know, it's not just to throw stones to the government, to the systems, but also create alternatives, something that we can, it's good to say no, but it's also a yes in the other hand. So, and that's something that we are doing, at least in the water issue. You know, there is this work that goes from Canada to Argentina. And I think those are good efforts right now. And I'm sure to other levels like food or resources like oil and gas are starting also to create networks among the people.
Now, this is the Inter-American Water Network here in Washington?
Yes.
Is there still working on that in Washington going on?
No, it's not. I'm not working there anymore, but this is a network that was created in El Salvador, and they have annual meetings, and they are doing things together. For example, there is another corporation in La Paz that was controlling the water. The name of the corporation is Suez. It's a huge, huge transnational from France. So, and there are also groups in Argentina that have some same problems with this company. There are groups in Uruguay that are having problems with this company. And we are starting to talk, you know, groups from Argentina, Uruguay, Bolivia, for example, starting to talk about what we can do against this corporation that is doing such a bad stuff here in our country. So there are these little examples about how we are getting together and start to talk.
Democracy Center actually started in San Francisco. You have a main office there. Are they acting in any way as an information center for what's going on in Bolivia, or is it directly coming out of your Cochabamba office?
Well, that's coming directly from the Cochabamba office. You know, Jim Schulz, that is the executive director, he's more the person who is sending information outside. I work here like half-time working with him, but at the same time I have another half-time working like an activist. And yes, we are trying to do that. It's also that the voice from people here can be here there in the United States, and I think Jim did a good job doing that.
And as we've heard him on Democracy Now!, actually that's why I first heard you. Going back to the people of Bolivia, one of the problems and the question of Marxism, there were a number of Marxist movements in Latin America in the 80s and before that, aside from in Cuba. One of the problems in Marxist analysis was that indigenous people didn't really have a role to play anymore, that they were part of the past. And I noticed there, Morales had made a statement that the MAS party was a combination of, he called it, a contradiction of between indigenous Marxist and social democratic conceptions, a permanent contradiction. Does the political ideology have any role in this, or is this simply people demanding their just rights because these are their own natural resources, or does this have an ideological framework to it?
I don't think that that there's an ideological framework here. You know, it's just all and natural, and it's all Well, I will say it's all spontaneous. You know, there's no people theorizing behind the social movements. There are, that's true also, there are some intellectuals that are following close what's going on with the social movements here, but in any way I think they have an influence or huge influence in social movements. People are going to the streets because people know that that's the only way to participate in this and the only way that the government could listen them. Yeah, so I wouldn't say that there is a theory behind all of what's going on here. Maybe we could theorize about that, but not to make an influence from that.
Well, I've been watching this, and we've all been watching this. It's interesting, as I mentioned before I had you on the air, is that Bolivia was in the headlines for several weeks, and suddenly, like a searchlight that moves around and moves on, Bolivia drops out of the headlines, but the struggle in Bolivia goes on. I actually see we've actually reached close to the end of the hour. I did want to give information. Is there a place that people can contact your Democracy Center to get more information on what's going on there? Is there the website you want to give out?
Yeah, there is a web page where they can find a lot of information. It's www.democracycitr.org. There's some information that they can find about what's going on in Bolivia. There's another good site, call it narconews.com, where they can find all the information in English. And yeah, and that's the other thing, just commenting what you said, you know, we are just in the news when something really big is going on here, and not, they are not in the news, the daily struggle of the people here. That's the only thing that the media should learn also about what's going on in our countries, that there's a daily struggle that nobody sees. And I think that's even sometimes more important than what happened a couple of weeks ago here.
Well, Marcela Oliveira, I want to thank you very much for being our guest today. We'll get back to you again. I'm much appreciated, and good luck in your struggle. Lucha continua.
Thank you very much to you guys.
Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.